You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The big story of the day.
So we continue the focus on this new variant we were briefed about yesterday. Scientists are saying it's a variant of concern. Early signs are that it's more transmissible. It can evade immunity. It's got more mutations. And I want us to focus on the question of mutations. And I'll bring in Professor Bereshub shortly. I want us to focus on mutations and find out if we have more mutations because more people are not vaccinated, right? I want us to understand the impact of vaccines on virus mutations. So if you have two people contract the virus, one is vaccinated, the other one is not, who has the more likelihood of the virus mutating? Yeah, but let's first start the discussion by looking at this decision by the UK to put us back on the red list. Chifiwa Chivengwa is the CEO of Tourism Business Council of South Africa. Chifiwa, thank you so much for making time. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Clement, and good morning to yourself and your listeners.
This is not good news for your industry. I mean, traditionally, the country would be looking forward to an influx of high-spending tourists from the UK because the UK has traditionally been our biggest source market for tourists. Us being on the red list has cost us so much. It's going to cost us even more now that we're back on.
Well, Clement, this is the worst news that, many people woke up to this morning. I must say that, we have been looking forward to receiving as many tourists from the UK and many other countries, that are most likely going to follow suit in terms of, not allowing their citizens to travel to South Africa. And I think that, if you look at it from that point of view, it's going to affect a lot more people that have started going back to work. And they were looking forward to having Christmas with their families and, earning a living, from the job that they would have. So it's devastating news for us. It's not something that we're anticipating or wanting to hear. But we must also emphasize that, the fact that we have announced it, here at home and, from that press conference yesterday, it didn't instill much of confidence, in terms of what are we going to do next. Yes, we announced that we found a variant. But the most important thing is, what are we going to do after we find this variant? What are the steps that we're going to take? When are we going to be testing the efficacy of the vaccines against this variant? Because most of the time, and we should have learned in the past, when we announced the beta variant, that was the so-called South African variant then, we just went and announced. And we should have learned from that it landed us, we ended up being on the red list.
Yeah.
And we went now yesterday and did the same thing that we did the previous time. And we ended up being on the red list. So we should have learned from the first time that, these are not just announcements. These are, potential, economic, have a bad, impact on the economy.
Yeah.
We should announce them differently. We should be more prepared.
Mm.
And we should have a plan of action in terms of what I'm going to do next. And
so
we didn't have that. And that's the consequence.
Yeah, so gather as much information as you can before you provide a briefing about it so that there's a clear plan on what's to be done next. What do you think of this approach by the UK? Do you think it was premature? I mean, the UK hasn't even had discussions with our scientists yet. Even the World Health Organization didn't jump to release statements or advise countries on what to do. They're still waiting for a briefing from our scientists this morning.
No, absolutely, it's premature. It's a knee-jerk reaction to say, well, South Africa has announced this, and therefore we're going to respond by doing this, without having had any meetings, without seeing any information. The sample size is small. We're not saying that we should ignore it, but we're saying that we should study more and gather enough information to be able to make meaningful decisions. These are economic decisions. These are not just words. These are not just announcements. These are announcements that have a devastating impact. Look at the rest. And we woke up this morning, it's weak. Look at, the entire value chain, from the liquor value chain, everyone is in panic mode because we went and announced this without having a plan of action on how we're going to deal with it. So it is important that when we do these things, we meet, we talk, we start to have, we have meaningful discussion that leads to meaningful, announcements. And therefore, we start to engage everyone else.
But
now, we are where we are. It's almost like a runaway train.
Yeah.
But we need to stop it, and we need to have urgent meeting. And the president perhaps needs to get involved in this to make sure that, we provide direction and what is it that we're going to do as a country
The health minister indicated, and as we wrap up, Chifua, before I bring in Professor Barry Shub, the health minister indicated yesterday that there will be high-level meetings this weekend to discuss how government's approach is going to be. But whether we like it or not, if we need to contain the spread of the virus and this new variant, we have to look at some form of restrictions. It's not the best option because it's got severe socioeconomic consequences, but it's a viable option. What do you expect from government, and how do you think they can balance taking measures to contain the spread while ensuring that the measures are not devastating to the economy?
Well, one thing that is that as much as we can't control what the UK and the other countries can do, we can control what we can do as South Africa here at home. And the fact that this variant is already, you know, being transmitted, you know, amongst communities, it simply means that, you know, we have to tighten up in terms of ensuring that, you know, social distancing are there and the wearing of masks and so forth and so on. This is as a country. Us as a tourism industry have been doing that for many, many months. So for us, the only people that are able to travel are South Africans that are here in South Africa and those that live here. So if we go and restrict to a point where there is no travel allowed for South Africans, we're going to decimate the industry. We might as well forget about it. So that is the only thing that we have. So anything that we're going to be doing in terms of discussion of restrictions, we have to keep in mind of the tourism economy and the economy in general. And if we don't keep that in mind, the 470,000 people that have already lost their jobs are going to be adding on to that number, and unemployment is going to skyrocket.
Well, if you look broadly, it's just over a million jobs already. Chifua, thank you so much for making time. It's going to be a tough balancing act. Chifua Chivengwa is the CEO of Tourism Business Council of South Africa. After the break, I'll bring in Professor Barry Shub, who is the chairperson of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on Vaccines.
702.
The big story of the day
with Clement Maniatella.
It's 18 minutes after 10 o'clock. We've heard from the tourism industry. Let's focus now on vaccines. Yes, work is still being done to check the efficacy of the vaccine and the protection it has against this new variant. But let's understand more with Professor Barry Shub, who's the chairperson of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on Vaccines. Prof, thank you so much for making time. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Clement. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
So we have had three waves of coronavirus infections, each more severe than the last. The Beta variant, in the second wave, which was more contagious. We dealt with the Delta variant, which was even more infectious. This new variant, we are told, has more mutations. What do they mean by that?
Yeah, Clement, at this stage, it's very early days. This particular variant has been isolated, has been characterized. And what's worrying about it is that, as you say, it's got a lot of mutations, more than 30 mutations in the spike protein. The spike protein, remember, is the most important protein in the virus. That's how the virus latches onto cells and establishes an infection. So that is what's really, really worrying about it, because amongst these mutations are those that we know from other variants do govern the virus's ability to be contagious and also the virus's ability to escape the effect of the vaccine or a previous infection, in other words, immunity. So it's what you call immune escape and transmissibility. And that's the worrying thing. Now, whether that is actually going to translate into the virus being resistant to immunity or being more transmissible, that's still being investigated.
Mm.
Also, the other problem with this thing is it's got so many mutations. It's unprecedented in any of the variants which have been looked at up to now. So it's really a brand new virus in many senses.
Mm.
It's got this constellation of mutations which is really needs to be kind of looked at intensively. Mm. But that's the worry.
One of the criticisms, Prof, from the listeners who've been calling me this morning is that government was too quick to announce this. If we still need more information on it, the listeners have been asking, why then was government so quick when we don't even know whether our vaccines protect us against it? We don't have much information on it.
Yeah, look, I think we are certainly in an expanding epidemic, and there's quite a good likelihood that the variant is to some extent responsible for this rapid expansion. So I think the government is in a difficult position. You know, does it conceal and then afterwards subject to the criticism of why did it conceal information when I could have used this information for preventive measures. Or alternatively, a justifiable criticism where they're too quick in announcing, because as the tourist person just earlier said, you know, it's having a devastating effect on the tour, amongst many other industries, but also the tourist industry. So, and unfortunately, it's a lose-lose situation. But always, you know, I mean, as scientists, we kind of always call for being open and transparent and not concealing things. But it is a fact of life. This variant is here. It is quite extensive in the country. And it's got worrying mutations, which cause a lot of concern in the scientific community.
Yeah. Are there more mutations because people are not vaccinated, Prof? In other words, do mutations get limited when people are vaccinated? If you've got two people who contract the virus, one is vaccinated, the other is not, who has the more likelihood of the virus mutating?
Yeah, undoubtedly people who are unvaccinated, who are not vaccinated. Because if one is not vaccinated, one is then susceptible to infection. And those are individuals who are the reservoir, who are the harbor of the virus. And as the virus multiplies, so it picks up these mutations. And obviously, from an evolutionary point of view, it's to the virus's advantage to become more transmissible and more especially to escape the immunity. So those mutations which govern those two properties will be the ones which will be expanded on. And it will be expanded on in the reservoir of people who are not vaccinated. The people who are vaccinated are protected to a large extent, agreed, not 100%. Vaccines are not 100% effective, but are largely protected against being infected. So there are two things. The one of them, I think you alluded to earlier on, is a human behavior to kind of limit the chances of being transmitted from person to person. And the second is being vaccinated, being protected from infection.
So vaccines are still that critical tool then to protect you as an individual and just protect the population so that you are not a reservoir of the virus, and then it also multiplies as you go when you have it.
Correct. In other words, unvaccinated people are harboring the viruses and are transmitting it and are also increasing the amount of virus totally. If you look at the population as a whole, it's what you call the viral mass or the viral load in the population is being expanded on by the people who are not vaccinated and all people who are also not practicing all the infection prevention measures as well.
So if the virus, you know, keeps on mutating, Prof, if the majority of people don't get vaccinated or are not vaccinated, is it not time then for government and the private sector to get a little bit more serious here on those that are not vaccinated in terms of restricting their movements? And I know, I'm not trying to suggest that government must take the more radical approaches that have been taken like by countries like Austria, where those that are unvaccinated are put on lockdown. But isn't it time to start saying, if you're not vaccinated, you are a reservoir for these viruses, and that puts us at risk of seeing these different mutations, and that puts the rest of the population at risk?
Yeah, Clement, I think you articulated better, a lot better than I am, than I did. And I think this is where, actually, I think this is where the media plays such a role, because we need to communicate exactly that. Look, I think there's a carrot and a stick in terms of getting vaccinated. We can induce people to be vaccinated. And in some places, there's even a cash incentive or a food incentive. I'm not suggesting that we go all the way that route, but there is, you know, the incentive of being protected and protecting one's loved ones or people that you do come into contact with. And then there's the stick approach, you know, that basically people who are not vaccinated, you know, should one have a mandatory vaccination policy? You know, I'm not a legal expert, I'm not an ethical expert, but certainly from a public health point of view, that would make sense to kind of increase the kind of stick that, you know, if you don't get vaccinated, you are endangering the whole community.
Yeah. So we now know that, well, from what the health minister said yesterday, there are going to be some high-level government meetings. Have you invited to any meetings? Have you made any advisors as a ministerial advisory committee? Have you advised government on what the approach should be as we head into the holiday season?
Now, Clement, there are actually two ministerial advisory committees. There's a ministerial advisory committee on COVID-19, which looks at all those kind of issues. You know, issues like legislation, restrictions, and so on.
Mm.
Our vaccine one actually restricts itself to vaccine issues. So, no, we have not been involved in that, and that will be the other next responsibility, to give an advisory. But obviously, decisions are made at the government level, not the advice. We just simply provide the advice.
What advice do you have for just general South Africans this morning on the news of this new variant, on the news of these cases just generally going up and up, and it looks like we're getting into the fourth wave? What should we be doing? What do we need to change?
I think there are two advices. So one advice is that people do need to realize that this is a serious disease. It's a contagious disease, an epidemic disease. And human behavior, to avoid those functions, those social functions, the social gatherings which promote the spread, to keep it physical, to wear your mask properly over your nose and mouth, to sanitize hands. All those things, I think, have been over and over, but they really are so, so important to keep up those infection prevention things, even if one is vaccinated. That's the first thing. And the second thing, those people that have not been vaccinated, please, one can just kind of entreat. We've got a very safe and a very effective vaccine. It's a gift, and I think it's available easily, free, and people who have not should please go and avail themselves for themselves and the people they come into contact with.
Mm. Prof, thank you so much for making time on the show this morning.
Thanks very much, Clement. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Professor Barry Shoub is the chairperson of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on Vaccines. Yeah. What do you respond? How do you respond to that discussion with the prof? And even with Chifiwa, who is with the tourism industry. Yeah, it's not looking good on the tourism front. They cannot afford any more restrictions, and it really looks like that's where we're headed. But Professor Shoub as well, calling on people to go get vaccinated, because he says you become a reservoir of the virus when you're not vaccinated. And he says undoubtedly, that question I asked, right, about two people who contract the virus, one vaccinated, the other not, who has the more likelihood of the virus mutating? And he says undoubtedly it's the person who is not vaccinated. And he seems to take the approach that maybe it's time we start looking at how we just, even if you don't restrict movements, right, around those that are not vaccinated, but you say induce them, get them again to understand why it's important. But what else can government do? Yeah? What else do you think government can still do creatively to convince people that vaccines work? And I think one of the things we should do one of the days is look at the different hospitals and maybe bring in the CEOs so they can give us the stats of the people that are hospitalized, the people that are dying from COVID-19 when it comes to the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. But even with that, that information has been coming from some of the hospitals in the Western Cape. But some people still take the decision, right, not to vaccinate, which they rightfully can. But what are the consequences in the long run?